Welcome to Penalty Box Radio live on 102.5 The Game. I'm your host, Sean Smith. Joining me tonight, back again from a brief hiatus, none other than my co-host, Ann Kimmel, also of Penalty Box Radio. Ann, this is the time where we make nice.
This is, again,
my favorite time.
After raising teenagers, I love that somebody has actually penciled in time to make nice.
It does not necessarily mean being nice. We're just making nice. So how have things been going?
Things are good. How about you? We really have not talked since I missed last week.
It's been a little crazy. Whether you think about it or not, if you're on a radio show with someone on a regularly scheduled basis, you kind of get used to having at least, like, we have a weekly check-in, if nothing
right.
else. I mean, we communicate outside about the website and things like that, and in articles and game coverage. But when it's like, not only did I not see you last week, but really, we've just been busy.
Yeah.
Life has been happening. So it's good to see you. I'm glad things are going well. Things are a lot better this week than last week. For me, I don't know
good.
About the team, which is what we're really here to talk about.
We're going to get to that.
We'll get to that. I guess we should probably start off with our puck drop topic in.
Yes, and I'm actually going to take this from you
since I
did not get to ask you any questions last week. So I'm going to kick this off. Our puck drop topic comes to us based on news that broke today. The Nashville Predators announced today that Brady Martin, returning to the OHL to play the rest of the season with the Sioux Greyhounds. I want to ask you, Sean, is this the right move at the right time for Brady Martin and for the Nashville Predators as well?
Okay, now I'm going to say this. Last week when Alex was here, Alex and I had a conversation about Brady Martin and what it looked like for him for the rest of the season realistically. And we both had some opinions. My opinion, I was of the opinion that I saw a lot of benefit in Brady Martin staying in the NHL. And I believe my comment, I'm not going to go back and find it. I mean, if we've got anybody out there who wants to do that, they can. But I think I said something along the lines of, why would you send him back to play junior hockey with kids?
Mm-hmm.
When he could be playing in at the highest level possible. I feel like that would be much better for his development. That was last week. And I'm going to say, before we go on, and we can get to this later, I had an experience this weekend that changed my mind dramatically. But we'll talk about that later.
Okay, we are going to put a pin in that.
Yeah, no, we'll talk about it this segment.
Because it feels like something we do need to circle back to.
Absolutely do.
Okay, my curiosity has piqued here, so.
Okay, so that was my opinion last week. Now
okay.
I'm saying that you said, is this the right move at the time for Martin the Predator? So I'm curious, I want to hear what you have to say, and then I'll tell you how my feelings have changed.
You know, it's been really interesting, the topic about Brady Martin, not just today as, you know, they made the decision to have him go back and finish the season with the Sioux Greyhounds.
Right.
People have had really strong feelings about what the Predators have done with Brady Martin, even while he's been here.
There's usage issues.
Usage okay. issues. Didn't play on that, you know, 4-game road trip to Canada. Why do you take him to Canada? Niagara Falls, first of all, friends.
He's a Canadian citizen.
Yeah.
It makes
he can go to the good side.
It makes border crossings easy.
Yeah. Oh, we'll put a pin in that one too, friends. There's a story there.
Well.
You know, people felt like he should be playing more games. He should be playing more minutes. And here is what I would say when it comes to the general topic of Brady Martin's usage. Even if Brady Martin came in and played every single game that he was here and hit his 9 games out of the gate
okay.
and was amazing, I still don't know that it would be good for Brady Martin long term. Because hear me out. Brady Martin comes in, he plays a lot of minutes, and he doesn't perform well. People
okay.
are going to say, well, uh-huh. I don't know, you know, James yeah. Higgins.
Right.
If Brady Martin comes in and he does play well, that's great. But growth is not linear.
No.
For any player. And so then you have these expectations of an 18-year-old child.
Right.
That I think would be unfair to be placed on him. You have to let him grow and develop at a pace that is best for him. You also have to weigh in what is best for the Nashville Predators. And I think having him go back to juniors today, I think there's benefit for both parties in very different ways. So I feel really good about this decision. We'll miss him. He is a delightful young man
to
talk
to. Oh, absolutely. He was a lot of fun to talk to.
He's a good egg.
He was a lot of fun to talk to, very personable. I noticed very quickly that he had a good rapport, not just with the other players, but the other people that work for the team. It was almost, I mean, now granted, he'd been there for rookie camp. He'd been there he'd been there, but he seemed to have a familiarity with everybody that was around him, which I think it's a nice thing to see. But
yeah.
Do you want me to tell you?
Oh, okay. Circle so back, here,
all right. Okay. So this weekend, my son's hockey team, the Music City Marauders, the 11U Music City Marauders, went to Detroit to play in a CCM tournament. And they had a good tournament. They ended up runners up, lost by one goal. Heartbreaking finish, but it was okay. They had a great weekend. One of the things we had planned for Saturday night after they were done playing was to cross the Canadian border and drive to the very nearby Windsor, Ontario, because the Windsor Spitfires, the OHL team, were playing against the Sarnia Sting. Now, here's my thing. The initial reason that we wanted to go is that my son's favorite player, Ryan Ellis, was the captain of the Spitfires when he was in junior hockey. And to him, to get to go to Canada meant a lot. As just a lifelong hockey fan, to him it was and to take him for the first time to Canada to watch a hockey game was just an even bigger deal. So we figured it just made sense. Now, what's interesting about this was my expectations going into a junior hockey game was that I would see kids playing hockey. Now, I'd already seen a lot of kids playing hockey in Detroit.
True.
But what I saw on the ice and even in the stands completely changed my mind, because the concept of junior hockey, let me say, the United States of America, great country, not a good junior hockey development program like the OHL, like the QMJHL and the WHL. We don't have that here. They really do in Canada, and they've got it figured out, because this was quite possibly some of the most exciting and intense hockey I've ever watched.
Interesting.
Because, the junior thing is, I think, what throws everybody off, because junior means younger or smaller. These are all kids that are 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 years old. You can have some 20-year-olds on the team. You can have kids that are a little bit younger. And most of these guys are 17, 18, 19 years old. And if you look at the rosters, and I just went and watched the game, not thinking about it. The Spitfires have a couple of guys that have been drafted. The Sarnia Sting have a couple of guys that have been drafted. Actually, no, the Sting don't have anyone that's been – they have one defender that's been drafted by – a second round pick for the Blues in 2024.
Yeah.
These guys are all fighting to have a hockey career, to be able to be a professional hockey player. And this is one of the best paths to that end result, is to go through the junior hockey system. From the moment the puck dropped, the opening faceoff, it was 100% intensity, guys playing as hard as they could every shift. I mean, from beginning of the game to the end of the game. And it completely changed my mind on Brady Martin going back. Because, like I said last week, I was like, no, he should stay and develop. No, I was wrong.
Say it again. Louder for the people
wrong.
In back.
I don't have a problem saying I'm wrong when I'm wrong. I'm not wrong a lot. I am wrong a lot. But when I'm wrong, I'll admit it. Mm-hmm. And he's going to the comments about, you know, I'd rather him play, you know, 20, 22 minutes in the OHL than play 10 minutes in the NHL. 100% accurate that he's going to be playing big minutes up there. He's going to be playing at a very high level of intensity.
I think that's good for people to hear, because you are right. I think when people talk about juniors, you do think of
Kids
learning the skill set, practicing the skill set. And when you play juniors, you're talking about Brady Martin going back to the Sioux to play for the Greyhounds last season. Andrew Gibson played for the Sioux with Brady Martin. Andrew Gibson is a grown up.
Yeah, no.
This is a full, like he's the full size candy bar.
He wears a full mustache.
He does. So yeah, I do think it's important for people to understand that juniors doesn't mean kids trying to learn the skill set.
I'm only saying because I don't feel like, I mean, I talk to a lot of people about hockey, and I know that there are a lot of people that will watch junior hockey, and they probably understand. But there's a lot of people who are diehard NHL fans who have probably never seen
a game
in the CHL, and they don't understand. Maybe they've seen highlights or like, oh, well, this guy got drafted by the Predators, like when LaRue was playing with Moncton or Halifax.
Yes, Halifax Mooseheads.
They were playing against Moncton. That's what I was thinking of. In the playoffs, that was the mustard incident. But you know, so like, weird. Oh, look what this guy that the Preds drafted is doing. You'll see highlights, but I mean, literally every player on the ice has a dream to play hockey professionally, and they're working their butts off to do it.
Yeah, and that's a great avenue.
Yeah,
the CHL juniors, that whole program, that whole development, that's a great avenue to get yourself eventually to a place where you play in the NHL.
And I'm going to say, because we'll be going to a commercial very shortly, and I'm going to say this, is that if the initial argument I was trying to make last week was that it would be better for him to develop at the NHL level, but I'm going to be really honest. I'd rather him be in an environment where they're going at 110% for 60 minutes every night as a team than where they're kind of watching the puck toward the end of the game, which we may have seen a little bit of.
Perhaps.
In one of the games during the last PBR week.
Perhaps.
Now, we'll probably talk about that some. When we come back, don't you think?
Oh, I think we should definitely circle back to that.
It's definitely on there. But the fact of the matter is, that's the biggest thing that changed my mind. Even if I had any doubts, even after watching this game in Canada, those doubts were removed after watching the end of the game last night.
Yeah, I think that's a great perspective.
So when we come back, we're going to get into talking about the last PBR week and how things went. But first, I want to tell you about Tennessee Valley Paving. Tennessee Valley Paving is a third-generation, family-owned and operated company serving Middle Tennessee since 1957. They handle everything from driveway and parking lot paving to municipal and commercial projects, and even specialty work like tennis courts and aviation pads. They're bonded, hold an unlimited license, and ready to serve your paving and sealing needs. Call Tennessee Valley Paving today at 615-794-2351 or visit TennesseeValleyPaving.com. Tennessee Valley Paving, serving the region with quality you can count on. Welcome back to Penalty Box Radio Live. If you're looking for the best spot to catch every game, head over to East Nashville's favorite sports bar, Beyond the Edge. With over 30 TVs and 25 beers on tap, you'll never miss a moment. They've got you covered for lunch, dinner, and late night, serving food all the way up until 2 a.m. Plus, enjoy happy hour every weekday from 2 to 6, and don't miss 2-for-1 Sundays. I want to point out again, third year in a row they've won. See Nashville Reader's Poll, best sports bar in Nashville. Got to check
that.
It out.
Love that.
It's a great place. That's Beyond the Edge at 112 South 11th Street in East Nashville. Beyond the Edge is your home for every game. Now, I want to say, before we jump into the last PBR week, my biggest takeaway from that game was that if I lived near Canadian junior hockey, I would have a serious problem.
Yes.
Because it's affordable.
Mm-hmm.
Sat in the third row for like $30.
Yeah.
American dollars. I don't know what that is in Canadian dollars.
Math.
$30. Third row seat. It was great. Intense crowd. I mean, it was an incredible experience. If you haven't been, you got to check one out.
Yeah.
Great time. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk about a tough PBR week for the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, this PBR week was tough, and it actually, I want to tie it in with the Brady Martin decision because, you know, we talked about, I think the Brady Martin decision is great for him. He can take back a lot of what he learned here in Nashville. He can work on that, hone that skill set, like you said, in juniors with the men in juniors. But I also think that timing-wise, this works out well for Nashville because right now, after this past PBR week, Nashville needs to focus on winning.
Yeah.
Well, not a lot of that happened last PBR week, friends.
Last week, we made some predictions. Alex said he was looking at maybe 4 points from the week. I was thinking three, but we saw one.
1. Yeah. It was tough. They went 0-2-1 last PBR week, which is Wednesday to Wednesday. Time should always revolve around when the show is on the air.
That's the most important thing.
Yes. 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 So when you look back at this past PBR week, Sean, what jumps out at you about, like, hey, you know what? This is a problem that we saw this week for the Nashville Predators that they need to address.
Well, and I think this may be a theme for the night, but I think it was just the fact that this past week you didn't see a lot of, I mean, you did see an overtime loss, but you didn't see a lot of, like, really close games.
No.
Big differentials there.
Yeah, yeah. And this is one of those phrases that I think is a little bit for Predators fans, but goal scoring is a problem. And
right.
the reason that it makes, I think, this fan base feel twitchy is because we watched 82 games last season where, for the most part, the Predators had goal scoring problems. And that, again, this PBR week was an issue. You know, they were a -7 goal differential, which means 7 more goals were scored on them than they scored. Mm. And you can win close games.
Sure.
But you can't ask UC Saros to make saves and then not provide him with the goal support and the breathing room that a 1-2-3 goal lead is. And Nashville's kind of stuck in this 2 goals scenario, you know, and that's been rough to watch this week.
And I think my concern here with this is that you saw a team under previous head coach John Hines whose entire game plan was to play a hard physical game that wore down the other team. So then in the late stages of the game, they were tired and you had more room to make things happen, which means you're playing, you know, small hockey. You're playing the long game. Let's wear them down and eventually we'll be able to score a goal and maybe win the game. Long term, really hard on players.
Yes.
Asking a lot of your goaltender every night. Mm-hmm. And you're really just banking on the fact that you're going to wear teams down. Never saw that work against the fast teams.
Correct.
And now you've got a roster that if you look at it, you've got some guys that should contribute to a lot of goal scoring. Now, one of those guys, Jonathan Marchessault.
Yes, and I think that this is something to keep in mind as we look back on last PBR week and hopefully maybe look ahead to the next PBR week, which we will do a little bit later in the show. But one of the drivers for the Nashville Predators has been Jonathan Marchessault this season and the line that he plays on with Eric Halla and Michael Bunting. And they're workshopping some different names for the line, but I've heard the Loud line. And I think that's
the what line?
Loud.
Loud line?
Yes.
Why is that?
I actually heard this directly from Michael Bunting, talking to him, and he's, you know, about, hey, why is this line working? And he's, well, we play a similar style. We also really like to talk. My question is, to each other or to the other team? Oh, both.
Both, yeah.
Both, which, you know what?
I love it.
Maybe mic them up, maybe not. I don't know.
I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, but that line has been such a driver for this team, not just offensively, although they have been offensively. They have been one of the most goal chances, shot chances producing lines that the Predators have had. But just as a tone setter for this team, setting the tone, setting a pace, kind of setting that fiery identity that they want. And when you don't have Jonathan Marchessault, there is something missing there.
A goal scorer,
but also kind of that identity player. So that is something that I think is worth noting. You don't want to say, well, if Jonathan Marchessault had been here, none of this would have happened, because, of course, there are other issues that they had. But I do think that that's a factor for the team, is not having Marchessault.
Well, I got to say, though, like, if I I'm not a hockey player. I'm not gonna sit here and act like I've played the game and I can, like, I've done it, right? But I feel like if I were on his line, like if he was the one, I would be holding myself to a higher standard, because I'd be afraid that he'd get mad at me if I wasn't playing hard enough.
Can you imagine what he would say on the Loud line?
Horrible
things.
Just things to just make you regret decisions you made earlier in the game. Like, why did I do that? I'm so stupid.
And Yeah.
You're mad at yourself. I'm sorry, Jonathan Marchessault.
And then you have to hold yourself to that Ryan O'Reilly level of accountability.
I need to do better.
Yeah. It could
not
spiral.
Playing hard enough.
It could spiral. Yeah. Very high standard.
Right.
And that line again, it's a tone setting line. So I do think that there is something to be said for that. And that is hopefully something that will change going forward. Of note, Marchessault has practiced with the team the last 2 days. So we will see what that means tomorrow morning at morning skate. We will see what that means tomorrow night.
And were you there for the skate today?
Yes,
I was. So he skated with the team. Did he skate with the line or did he skate with the team?
He skated with the team, did drills with them. I don't think that he did line rushes with them. And also he, of note, was one of the second, he was the second to the last player off the ice. He and Luke Evangelista were, I mean, they outlasted Ryan O'Reilly. And friends, Ryan O'Reilly, he spends some time after practice.
He does. And look, I'm not complaining. I like that he wants to be out there, but yeah. Sometimes after practice, you want to talk to Ryan O'Reilly, and you're looking at your watch.
Pack a snack.
Everyone, UC Saros is already in the sauna. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's...
You got to pack a snack, friends.
Just waiting.
Just waiting. Worth the wait. He's a great, he's great, great to talk to.
Yeah.
But yeah, don't go hangry. Go hangry to practice.
Take something with you.
Yeah.
Get some pretzels.
Yeah.
Maybe some beef jerky. I don't know, some protein. Something.
Yeah, you'll want protein.
Something to last.
Yeah, you're not going to want sugar. But yeah, I think that, you know, not having Marchessault, I think that could be a boost for the team when he returns to the lineup, whenever that will be.
What are some other issues you've seen that are troubling?
You know, the one that I've seen that Andrew Brunette has mentioned this in a couple of these losses in the post game. This is a team where if they take their foot off the gas for even a small stretch of time,
yeah,
it comes back to bite this team. And I think the perfect example, last week, look at the Montreal overtime loss. 21 seconds of your life you want back as a Predators fan, because this was a game that Nashville was looking like they were going to win. You know, 20 seconds left on the clock. Cole Caulfield, just don't give him, like, he just can't have the puck. And then... You know,
you're just going to have to take a penalty.
Yes. Just tackle him.
I don't know.
I mean, don't do that. That's not a great idea.
No, you can't. It's just a penalty. Like, that's part of the game. Just take the penalty. Now, don't do it if he's like, don't get a penalty shot out of it. But
yeah,
just take the penalty.
Yeah.
You're better off.
Yes.
Playing 4-on-5 for 2 minutes, as long as he's kind of been neutralized for a while, than you are just leaving him out there.
Yeah. And then, you know, you go into overtime and you have, hey, we're going to go to a shootout, which, look, if UC Saros is your goaltender and you're going to a shootout.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll take those chances.
It's fine.
But 2 seconds left, they get the puck, they score the goal, you lose that opportunity to get that second point. And again, it's not that Nashville is playing terrible, terrible games for 60 minutes,
right.
Although Tuesday night was not great.
Yeah.
But when they take their foot off the gas, it turns on them very, very quickly. And you've got to see more consistency for 60 minutes from this team.
And I think, too, that, like you said, when this team, historically speaking, and I don't just mean under Andrew Brunette. Mm-hmm. I also mean under John Hines. I also mean under Peter Laviolette toward the end of his tenure. This is a team that when they get behind, for whatever reason, it you don't see a lot of pushback. And I was really hoping that this season that would change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But let's talk about Tuesday's game.
Wow. Yeah, Tuesday's game. So Anaheim coming in. And what is so interesting, Anaheim and Nashville, there's some good parallels, very comparable advanced statistics-wise coming into this game. And so you think, Nashville, you are back home. You are kicking off a 5-game homestand. You are playing the Anaheim Ducks. Like, this could happen. This could be the start of some very valuable points at home. And that is not what we saw.
Right.
And what I will say is Anaheim scored first, which, just coincidentally, that's the first time Anaheim has taken the lead or scored first in any of their games so far this season.
Yeah.
But Nashville came back, tied it up. Anaheim goes up. Nashville comes back and ties it up. And you think, okay.
There's some pushback.
There's some
fight here.
Yes. This is not, you know, all is not lost until all was lost.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the wheels really came off the bus for the Predators because, in the words of Roman Josi in the postgame, we gave them their goals.
Yeah.
The Predators allowed Anaheim to play their style of hockey.
Right.
And Nashville really, I mean, Nashville is not going to beat a team with speed. They're just not.
And they haven't in a long time. I mean, that's been a concern when you see those younger, faster teams come in that are no, the Oilers, for example. That was, well, the Oilers are coming to town. You're not going to wear them down because they've got energy for days. And you'd see Connor McDavid, or if Connor McDavid wasn't playing, Leon Draisaitl just has a vendetta against Nashville for some reason.
He hates us.
I'm going to score 7 goals. But he says it in German in his head.
Yeah. Which sounds even more aggressive.
Sounds way cooler.
Way more aggressive in German.
I don't know. I guess for me, what's hard is we heard the Boo Birds come out last night.
There was discontent rumbling below the surface at the end of that game.
Now,
yes.
We had booing against the other team. And what game? It was the game that they lost in overtime.
Where they never touched the puck, Utah.
Right.
Yes.
There was a lot of booing. But the reason there was booing was because Utah was holding the puck behind the net, unwilling to break it out to end the regular time of the third period. And then, I mean, yeah, they had possession for the entirety of overtime, but they also kept cycling back and cycling back. But this was booing the home team.
I think that there was discontent. And again, I come back to...
That's early in the season.
You know what it is, though? It is hockey sunburn. I always talk about that. This is hockey emotional sunburn for the fan base. Because if you just touch somebody lightly on their arm, you get their attention. That's fine. If you touch somebody lightly on their arm, but they are sunburned...
Oh.
It hurts. And I think that Nashville Predators, the fan base, is a little emotionally sunburned from last season. Okay. So it's coming early.
Well, when we come back, we're going to get into more of the goal scoring situation. But first, if you're looking for more than just a haircut, check out Timber and Blade. At Timber and Blade, you'll find a place to recharge and walk out looking your best. Maddie and Becca, a husband and wife team with over 20 years of experience, have created a space that's masculine, warm, and rooted right here in Tennessee. They use clean products they trust with their own family, and every cut is crafted with care. Slow down, connect, and leave grounded in who you are. Timber and Blade, rooted in craft, grounded in care. Book online at timberandbladetn.glossgenius.com or visit 1731 Mallory Lane, Suite 100 in Cool Springs.
This segment of Penalty Box Radio Live is brought to you by Green Ventures. Green Ventures is your local family-owned landscaping company dedicated to making your outdoor space look its best. From lawn care and seasonal cleanups to full landscape design, they bring the tools, the team, and the know-how to get the job done right. Whether it's your home, your business, or your neighborhood, Green Ventures keeps Middle Tennessee green and growing. Head over to greenventureslandscaping.com today and let Green Ventures bring your yard to life.
Ann?
I could talk all day about Green Ventures Landscaping.
I think it's interesting. I've gotten so used to coming back in from that ad read with you talking about Green Ventures that when Alex didn't talk about Green Ventures, I was like, why aren't
What's
you talking about
What's wrong you? With you? No, I know. Look, this is a hockey show, but if it ever turns into a landscaping show, I'm going to talk about Green Ventures. Yeah. We have the most amazing backyard, and I spent 45 minutes sitting out there working on hockey today.
That's exciting.
Green Ventures.
There's something, we've got a patio in the back, and this was not planned. Let's talk about Green Ventures time, but we've got a similar setup that Green Ventures put together for us, a screened in back patio. And it is just, you sit out there under the fans, like it's so nice. So, all right, we got to get back to talking hockey. We got to talk hockey.
Hockey talking.
What are we going to talk about?
Well, I think that we need to talk about some comments that Steven Stamkos made over the last, they've caused kind of a stir over the last 24 hours or so. And I want everybody to kind of hear what Steven Stamkos had to say if you haven't heard the comments yet. And then I think it's something that is worth discussing. So yesterday morning, for context, before the Anaheim game, after morning skate, some of the media, of course, were talking to different players and were talking to Steven Stamkos. And he spoke a little bit about the team's identity. He was addressing the goal scoring issue as well. And this is what Steven Stamkos had to say.
Yeah, no, it's tough. I mean, we have some pretty good offensive players that, you know, want to produce to help our team win. And when it's not helping, or when you're not helping in that regard, it's tough. I mean, no one's going to be talking about, oh, you made a good defensive play, or you're playing well defensively. It's, you know, the games that we're not winning, it's, okay, we need to find a way to score some more goals. So, you know, like I said, it's we're not, you know, a team that is going to go out and score 4 or 5 goals every night. I think we can all agree on that, right? So it's not something that we can't just open the floodgates and go, you know, back and forth, chance for chance, and try to win games like that. That's not the identity of our team, and that's been established. And like I said, I think there's areas that we've improved on from last year defensively. Now, you know, some other areas, like I said, being the power play, one of them that can help you win some of those tighter games. And that's what we need to focus on.
So I thought it was very interesting, and it was something that a number of other media members noted, that it was a very frank conversation from Steven Stamkos. And I think part of what was interesting about it, and that isn't conveyed via radio, right, is body language, is how carefully he was choosing his words. But he wanted to speak about kind of what he was thinking. And the most interesting thing is, you know, saying out loud, look, this is not a team that is going to score 4 or 5 goals a night. And you think, oh, okay, that was maybe the quiet part. Mm. That was maybe the quiet part.
That sounds like John Hines hockey.
Yes. And it leads me to wonder, and I certainly do not want to put words in Steven Stamkos' mouth, and I don't want to take, you know, his comments out of context, but it does make you wonder, is there some sort of maybe fundamental difference between how Steven Stamkos sees a team winning games and being a winning team in the league versus how this franchise believes they are going to be most successful?
Okay, so what would you say, in your opinion, is the way Steven Stamkos sees the team being successful?
Here is what I will say, and again, this is my perception, and I'm not putting words into Steven Stamkos' mouth, but if you look at where he came from the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Correct.
His experience through almost the entirety of his NHL career, sans the last season and 7 games, is that wins really do come with goal scoring. You know, you look back, Tampa Bay during his time, they were no less than 8th best in the league in goals for. The years that they won the Stanley Cup, Tampa Bay in the regular season was number 1 in goal scoring. Now, certainly don't want to take away from the fact that they have Victor Hedman, that they have, you know, Ryan Patrick McDonagh, that they have Andrei Vasilevsky. You know, this is, you know, it's not just a wing and a prayer and a whole bunch of goals.
Right.
But this is a team that in the series that they've played in the postgame, they are scoring 6, 7, sometimes 8 goals in the postseason.
Yeah.
Where you think these are going to be the 2-1 games
right,
that you're going to win. And so I do think that maybe he has had a very different experience with a franchise that views winning more towards scoring goals than perhaps the Predators' identity is.
But I would say, too, though, that, I mean, pardon me if I'm wrong here. And I may be, again, like you said, we're not speaking for the organization.
Certain, yeah.
This is just mine and Ann's thoughts and our opinion. But if you're Steven Stamkos and you're a known goal scorer, right? You're a known goal scorer coming from a team that scores goals, and you get signed by the Nashville Predators, and you see Jonathan Marchessault, also a known goal scorer, get signed by the Nashville Predators. Wouldn't you think that the movement would be toward the team being a team
focused on goal scoring?
Focused on goal scoring.
Right.
And does that mean, like you said, is there a fundamental difference in the way Stamkos and the team see being a team that wins games? If that's the case, then that makes it sound like something's changed in the mindset of the team.
Yeah, and he mentioned in that clip, and again, that was a segment of a conversation, so, you know, you want to keep it in perspective, but he talked about the identity of this team has been established.
Right.
And, you know, and he went on to say, this is not a team that's going to score 4 or 5 goals a night. And I think you're right. You know, this is a team. They have worked very hard defensively. Maybe didn't see that Tuesday night against Anaheim.
Fair.
But overall, this is a team that did a lot of work defensively. And I agree with you. If you are Steven Stamkos in going to free agency, the conversation had to have been, hey, we would love for you to come here and score goals.
It's got to be.
I don't think that they went to Steven Stamkos and said, hey, you know what we would like you to do?
Come play defensively.
Come be that defensive two-way forward. And look, here's the other thing I will say from that comment. I always laugh because I'm like, now I'm going to tell Steven Stamkos that he had a good defensive play because people clearly aren't saying that to him. But that's what he was...
I don't know if that's what he was going for.
I know. Reverse psychology there. But you were brought in to score goals.
Absolutely.
Jonathan Marchessault was brought in to score goals.
Correct.
And it feels like maybe the team is saying, you know, we're going to try to win games. And they're certainly not saying by not scoring goals. But
no.
I don't think that the Predators are as concerned about
running up
volume.
The numbers. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, Stamkos, like there were some of the postseason when he was with Tampa Bay where they would average in a series 4.5 goals a game.
Yeah.
That's, 3.25 goals a game.
That's
3.17. It's a lot of goals. And so I think his experience has been very, very different because goal scoring has been such an important part of Tampa Bay's success while he was there.
And the power play.
Yeah.
You know, this is a guy who's a fixture on the power play. If you look at, I don't remember where I said this, but if you look at who's on that first power play unit, on paper, mm-hmm. that's a nasty power play unit.
It should be terrifying.
But are they last in the league now?
They are last in the league. 2 for 24
wow.
on the power play. 8.33%, worst in the league right now. And, of course, that leads us all to ask, what's going on the power play? What can you do to improve the power play? And it's been very interesting. Of course, we've asked Andrew Brunette. We've talked to Roman Josi. We've talked to Philip Forsberg.
Right.
And said, hey, what needs to be different on the power play to convert this?
I think when we come back, that'll be a good chance to dive into the lateral. Let me try speaking again. It's my first day. That will be a good chance for us to dive into that a little bit and listen to some of the things they had to say. Mm-hmm. But we'll also talk about the upcoming PBR week. But first, when it comes to barbecue in East Nashville, nothing hits like Drifter's Barbecue. Smoked slow and low, their pulled pork, ribs, and wings bring real smokehouse flavor. And at Drifter's, it's not just about the food. It's the music. They've got live music every night from Writer's Night on Mondays to Bluegrass Sundays on their covered, heated patio. Great food, great music, and the perfect East Nashville vibe. Drift over to Drifter's Barbecue and 1008B Woodland Street in East Nashville. Slow, low, and local.
Tennessee Valley Paving has been family-owned and operated since 1957, now in its third generation. From residential driveways to commercial lots, city roadworks, and specialty paving like tennis courts and aviation pads, they do it all. Plus, they offer sealing to protect your investment. Need paving you can trust? Call 615-794-2351 or visit TennesseeValleyPaving.com. Tennessee Valley Paving, trusted locally, built to last.
Really want to thank Tennessee Valley Paving for their sponsorship of the show. Incredible company. They do great work. Absolutely wonderful work. Work you can depend on, work you can trust for a long time. We left that segment talking about the problems with the power play. Just to review.
Yeah. So the power play, in case you missed the numbers and, you know, had a little bit of joy in your life.
A little bit
of joy. So the Nashville Predators, 2 for 24 so far on the season, 8.33 conversion percentage, worst in the National Hockey League currently.
Not what you want. And look, again, I'll say this too. It's early in the season still. So like when you get to stats like that, you know, there were some teams on our last show that were still hadn't scored any power play goals.
Right.
And so, I mean, things will change. But as it stands right now, I mean, you don't want to, like, tell the story of the season after 7 games, right? But
you don't. But you also want to be watching
Absolutely.
For trends. And the other thing too, and I think this is true with the power play and goal scoring, if you can kind of get it going, you know, I was talking to Ryan O'Reilly about goal scoring and he was saying, you know, I personally kind of have a little mental block right now. And so I'm not feeling as comfortable with the stick. So when these players find the back of the net, when the power play finds the back of the net, when they have some success, I think that does kind of release some of the pressure. And again, 7 games from now, where will the power play percentage be? It's definitely right. something to watch. But, you know, in talking with Andrew Brunette and talking with the veterans on the team, the message that we have gotten back about how are you going to improve the power play, what we have heard consistently from them has been very much the same. You need it to be quicker. You want pucks to the net.
Right.
It needs to be quicker, pucks to the net, quicker, pucks to the net. Then we had an opportunity in this same conversation from before earlier in the show to talk to Steven Stamkos specifically about the power play. And this is what Steven Stamkos had to say when it came to fixing the power play.
Well, I mean, we need to generate more chances. It's just, you know, kind of a lot of one and dones, you know, not really getting, you know, good shots from areas where guys are, you know, prone to score goals from, you know, especially with some of the shooters we have, and just execution. So sometimes it's just slowing it down a little in terms of let's establish a setup first, not necessarily be in a rush to throw pucks to certain areas. So it's something we talked about. It's something that we obviously realize is a big part of, you know, our offensive identity as a team is, you know, we need to have a half decent power play to, you know, score some more goals.
Go ahead.
I'm going to say this, just having watched 11U hockey all weekend, is that the thing I think even they're experiencing on this power play is that what they've got to realize is that when you take one of the other team's guys off the ice for 2 minutes, you have more time. There should always be someone open. And so instead of making a rash decision and just, okay, we're going to get this puck over here where this person should be, it's taking that extra second to look and see, are they open? Is there someone there? Is this the right place to go? If I pass it to this spot, do they have a shot? Or does the right person have a shot from this area? Instead of just saying, okay, we're going to try to shoot the guy who's in this circle, whichever circle, the left circle, the right circle, we're going to get it there. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's the wrong guy. Maybe they've cycled around to where Stamkos is out of position from his preferred spot, which I'm assuming is the left circle. But mm-hmm. what do you think?
I just think it is of note. You hear them saying two words that are opposite. You know,
right.
you hear Brunette, you hear Yossi Forsberg say, you know, it needs to be quicker. You hear Steven Stamkos saying it needs to slow down. And I think we need to be careful not to say, wow, they are on two totally opposite ends of the spectrum, because there is nuance in both of those words. And I think you said it well. Slowing down the process,
correct.
Passing the puck quicker. But I do think we need to keep a close eye on what really does improve the power play, especially over the next PBR week. What is going to get this power play going? Because it needs to get going.
Oh, it's got to get going.
You know, if you're not going to be scoring 6, 7, 8 goals a night, you should score one or two on the power play if you can.
Right.
Sounds fun.
Well, again, you know, that's where goals should happen. It's the front mm-hmm. of the net
mm-hmm.
or the power play. Right. I mean, that's when scoring should be taking place.
The odds are ever in your favor.
If you are on the power play or in front of the net. That's I'm curious. So let's take a look at this upcoming PBR week.
It's packed.
There's a lot going on. Thursday, you've got Vancouver.
Yes.
The return of Kiefer Sherwood.
And Kevin Lankinen.
And Kevin Lankinen. Although you might not see him. Mm-hmm. Vancouver doing... They're 4-3 right now?
Yes, they're 4-3 coming off of a 5-1 loss to Pittsburgh.
Saturday.
Oh, friends.
Saturday.
It is the March of the X's. It's Saturday. In comes Kevin Fiala and the 2-3-2 LA Kings as of the time of this recording. So this is going to be challenging. They've got some injuries.
Right.
On the LA Kings team, right. But they also still have some weapons on that team, too. So that's going to be a good Saturday night in Smashville matchup.
And then, of course, Sunday against Dallas.
Yep.
And like you said, the March of the X's.
March of the X's.
Maybe Matt Duchene is back.
Yes. So Matt Duchene is listed as day-to-day with an upper body, but if I were Matt Duchene, I would feel so much better by Sunday.
That's probably right.
I'm just saying. So yeah, they're 3-3 as of the time of this PBR show. They're 3-3. So there are some really challenging games. And then Tuesday, oh, friends, but wait, there's more this PBR week. Who do we have Tuesday, Sean?
Tampa Bay Lightning.
Tampa Bay Lightning, friends. Mm-hmm.
Now, that should be an interesting opportunity there. Mm-hmm. Tampa Bay, not off to a Lightning fast start. Not off to what you would expect from Tampa Bay over the last few years.
Yeah. I think they're, 1-3-2 right now?
Yeah. And
surprising.
Look, you know, and their goaltender, who's usually spot on.
Money.
Like you could set a clock to him. Up and down, right?
Yeah.
What's 3.5 goals against average, yes, in a game? That's not normal for him.
No, that's not normal. And I believe, you know, Andrei Vasilevsky, this is a guy who's going to self-correct.
Oh, yeah.
But it would be fine if he waited till next PBR week.
If he wants to get back on the
think about it later.
The goal-saving horse next PBR week.
Next
that
PBR
would be fine.
Week.
And I, you know, Alex explained it last week, and this hadn't occurred to me, is that you're seeing a lot of weeks with four games because mm-hmm. you've got this season that now is being impacted by the Winter Olympics. And so they're taking like 3 weeks off.
Yeah.
But they're also making sure you still play 82 games. So you're going to see more games per week. Workload's going to be a lot higher, more back-to-backs, things like that. So when we say like it's a packed week, you'll hear that a lot because
it's going to be
a lot of weeks where there are four games as opposed to two or three. Yeah. Now, really, you think what? This past PBR week, 3, PBR week before that, 4. I mean, you're talking about, I'm going to do the math there. Is that 11 games?
Are we mathing?
No, it's not that kind of party.
I thought we were talking about landscaping.
That's right. This is the landscaping show.
Landscaping show.
But here's the thing. 11 games in 3 weeks, you know, you're looking at a game every other day.
Yeah.
With a back-to-back, mm-hmm. even in an ideal situation. So,
yeah. And with Nashville going to Sweden, they've got to get those games in because they've got travel time.
Theirs is going to be even more compact. And that's that impacts
coming.
Pittsburgh as well, right? That's
yes.
who's going to Sweden
yes.
with them. So, you know, you're going to see, I think, where you're going to have to start using your backup goaltender more.
Right.
Not just for the Predators, but for other teams as well.
Yeah. So we're getting in the thick of it. In the thick of it, friends.
Yeah, that's absolutely what's happening. So I just want to say this, just while we've got a little bit of time before we say goodbye. You know, we do have a website, penaltyboxradio.com. I do want to point out that is a Substack website. When you go to an article, it will say, would you like to subscribe? That is a free subscription. You're not paying money for that. So if you see that and you're like, I got to pay for this. No, you don't. You can completely ignore the subscription thing and read everything we have for free. Or if you subscribe, what that does is it will send you an email every time we publish something. And that way you don't have to go looking for it or wait for it to appear in a social media post. It's just there. So don't forget that. We'd love to have you guys check us out and read it. Thank you for listening to Penalty Box Radio Live on 102.5 The Game, presented by Tennessee Valley Paving, Beyond the Edge East Nashville, Boston Commons, Drifters Barbecue, Green Ventures Landscaping, and Timber and Blade. For all of us here at Penalty Box Radio, thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you again.